Today on Real Radio.
I was debating a Muslim at Cal Poly Pomona, and he admitted this. He said, look, I got to tell you, your message is way better than our message. Your gospel is way better than what I got. He said, I'll admit that. Now watch, here's the big difference.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In fact, we're in a series within a series that speaks of the great hopes and promises for the New Testament believer. It's Pastor Jack's series of lessons taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's called, Nothing Can Be Greater.
God gives the Ten Commandments, but there was still a problem. The Spirit of God had not been written upon the hearts of His people. That's what the New Covenant does. That's what the New Testament does. That's why we boast as Christians in the Lord that the New Testament, our faith, is not religion, it's a relationship, because God does it from the inside. Sign up, go through these things, jump over these hoops, tithe so much money, do so much efforts, and then you can become a member of the church. I thank God the Bible does not have those regulations. Too bad the thief on the cross didn't get a chance to tithe. Are you kidding me? Mutual, listen, where there's mutual love, regulations go out the window. It's like marriage counseling. That's the bulk of what this church, any church does, is marriage counseling. Why do we do marriage counseling? Because one or the other or both partners in that marriage won't obey the Bible. Just read it and do it. Watch what happens. Especially men. Can I pick on men this morning? I'm feeling a little ornery today. Men, you ever have? Would you have a tendency to complain about your wife? Zip it. Zip it, obey Jesus, and watch what happens. Your wife will begin to reflect, can I put it this way? Your glory as you spend time with Jesus. Amen. Husband, spend time with Jesus. Watch what happens. You'll come out of your time with Jesus with a glow, and she will reflect your glow. If you ever want, if a wife is sequestered and depressed and bummed, most often it's because the husband has created her by how he speaks to her, how he treats her. Isn't it interesting? In that setting, a man will say, submit. We're Christians, right? You got to submit to me, man. I mean, woman. We're not that kind of church. Listen, where there's mutual love, the word submit never comes up. Shouldn't you submit? You know what? That should never have to come up where there's mutual love. In Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 22, it tells us that the husband and the wife are to submit to God first. There's the key. Yeah, but he said, she said, forget it. Submit to God first. Watch what happens. It's amazing. That's not even in my notes. All that was free marriage counseling this morning. Why did God promise us a New Testament way back in the old? In Jeremiah 31, he promised us a New Testament. Back in the Old Testament, because it had to be of love. Isn't it amazing? Now, look, if we were to ask you this morning, how many of you are not Christians this morning? Raise your hand, and you raise your hand. And we would run. Imagine if we ran over to you, put you in a headlock. Okay? Because you would be saying, I'm not a Christian. Now watch out. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not a Christian. And we all know that. Oh, look, he's not a Christian. We run over, put him in a headlock. Take little Gideon Bibles and start putting them down his mouth. Getting holy water and sprinkling on him, whatever that is, holy water, we don't know. But you're sprinkling with it. Put garlic around his neck, a big cross, and declare he's a Christian. He's not a Christian. Okay? Listen, it's got to be of love. Now look, times are changing in America. There will come a time, perhaps, in America, unless God intervenes, that there'll be those who will come up to you. If you were to say, I'm not a believer, They may come up to you and put you in a headlock and cut your head off. Because that is part of their doctrine. Think of that. You say, that will never happen. Why not? It's happened in a lot of nations in the world today. See, Christianity will never do that. Biblical Christianity cannot do that. Because, listen, that's rape. God wants a relationship with you. It's a choice. So when you approach God on this very legalistic, work-centered experience, how heartless and cold it is. And don't think for a moment that God is going to say to you, now submit. God wants you to have a relationship with him based on mutual love. That you get up and you live with God. You walk with God. You talk with God. You're in his word, his love letter that he's written to you, and it's a reality. You can tell your children, obey me. And listen, there comes a point, okay, when you start out with your kids, they're little, they haven't figured out that they actually can disobey you. When they discover that, it's called teen rebellion. Listen, here's what you want to do as a parent. You want to prepare the road in advance to not say, I'm your father, do as I say. What you want to do is never have to be able to say that. What you want to do is be able to love your kids in that relationship in such a way that your kids want to grow up and be just like you with their kids. And we can all start that today. Because it's all about relationship and a greater glory. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18, for on the one hand there is an annulling. Interesting word. The word means expiration of the former commandment because of its weakness. There is an expiration date on the Old Testament law because of its weakness. That word means inability and its unprofitableness. That word means its lack of benefits. Verse 19, Hebrews 7, for the law made nothing complete, perfect, holy, pure. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. What a tremendous statement. Listen to this. This is one of my favorites of all time. I'm sure it is yours too. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Paul writes this to the believers in Rome. Listen to this. It's for you today. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. You have no sentence of judgment over your head to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? God sees red. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You now have an actual relationship with God that you want. You want to walk with Jesus. You're excited about walking with Jesus. This is what you want to do. Listen, I love you, but listen this morning, listen. If this morning you get up every day and you go, oh man, yeah, I'm religious. I'm a Christian. Man, I hope I have the strength to be a Christian today. I got to do Christian stuff today. I got to remember to talk Christian today. Just that alone is brutal. Okay, ready? I'll take a cup of coffee. Got my bagel. It's Jewish. Let's go be a Christian now. Come on, let's go do this. You're not a Christian. I say this lovingly. If this morning you don't know what it's like to be awakened like this in the morning, when you come to it, you know that when you're waking up, I want to believe that my first thoughts are about God when I wake up, but I'm, in the words of the person at the register yesterday, this is the third day in a row you've been to Wahoo's Fish Tacos. I think I dream about fish tacos. I probably wake up, fish taco, Jesus ate fish tacos, yes. But very quickly, while you're coming out of that sleep zone, your thoughts are on God. And thoughts often like this, what are we going to do? It's funny, because I'm not asking God that, he's asking me. What are we going to do? What are we going to do today? Well, what are we going to do? Is tomorrow your day off? What are you going to do? Will God wake you up by saying, what are we doing today? I don't know. I thought I'd go surfing. Big waves right now. Then let's go, Jesus would say. Well, I don't know. I think I'd go snow skiing tomorrow. Well, you spoil people living in Southern California. Surfing or skiing. Whatever you do tomorrow, do it with Jesus. And the whole, no matter where you're at, work, oh, I got to work tomorrow. Listen, Jesus will pick you up and take you to work tomorrow. The Christian knows this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, before you leave here today, you can change all that in a nanosecond of time. It's a multiplied glory this way, verses 10 through 11. It's the greatest of glories. Oh my goodness. It's the greatest of glories. Verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, the Old Testament, because of the glory that excels. There is a greater, the greatest of all glories. That word means the greatest. Verse 11, for what is passing away was glorious, for if that was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. The word excels right here in verse 10 means this. It means to cast or throw beyond the point of return. It means to cast out to surpass the distance. Exceeding greatness. Not only great, greater, but to exceed greatness itself. The gospel, if you think about it, people, I'm convinced of this. The people I talk to who reject the gospel, most of them cannot wrap their heart around it because they think it's too great. I told you guys before, I was debating a Muslim at Cal Poly Pomona, and we had a great time together. And he admitted this. He said, look, I got to tell you, there is no doubt about it. Your message is way better than our message. Your gospel is way better than what I got. He said, I'll admit that. Now watch, here's the big difference. The only problem is, Jack, yours can't be true. It's too good. I understand that if you don't have a God who loves you. But if you do, oh, then it's the greatest. If you do, if you really believe that for God so loved, on the count of three, I want to hear your name. Shout it out loud. One, two, three. If God so loved, blah, that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. That is love. That is amazing. God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, God of the Bible, loves you that much. And if you would believe that, you see, now watch a fine line this is. I want to believe that, but I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. That's the great thing about his love. The closest thing we can imagine in this life is the love that a husband and a wife would have for each other. To give love, to decide, I'm going to love. I saw a couple last night where getting yogurt. And you could tell this young couple that either just met, they just got engaged. They were out in front of a ring store, so maybe that's what had happened. And I mean to tell you, it's great, and you have to offer up a prayer at the same time because she's like this. And she's looking right at him, and he's like, you know, talking, whatever he's doing. And then she starts talking, and he starts twirling her hair. Which is awesome. And that's cute. And relationships start, that's got to happen that way. But it can't stay that way. Because you got to go to work and pay bills and mow the lawn. And it can't stay that way. It can't stay that way. Because it goes from a feeling to a decision. I will love you. And it's a sad day when that husband or that wife has to wonder if their relationship is going to continue based upon merit, based upon performance. That's a sad day. That mutual exchange of love and relationship, that's something you work at. But listen, the Bible says that while you and I were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us while you and I were yet unborn, and he chose to love. Yes, we're not worthy. God loves us anyway. He has set, as the psalmist says, his affection upon me. Wow. Hang on, here we go. When it says that which remains is glorious, I'm going to go very quickly. I'm going to ask you to write these down. Colossians 1, 26. You want to talk about glorious? Colossians 1, 26. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints or believers, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, I love you, but I got to say this. If you are trying to earn your presence before God on human effort, by human religion, by cults, by performance, you need to listen to anyone who says you've got to enhance the gospel. The Bible says that's heresy. Listen to the reasons why. Hebrews 8, verse 1, write it down. Now, this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord created, not man. Do you know what that means? That means we have a high priest, Jesus, in the tabernacle in heaven, not on earth, not in Jerusalem, not anywhere else. That is awesome. Man, you got to say amen to that. Because if the temple falls down, your salvation is not linked to that temple. If your priest messes up, then your forgiveness is not based on that earthly priest. Hallelujah. Your salvation is not based upon the Pope or Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or me. No religious representation. Your priest is seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. What could be greater than that? I love it. Am I yelling? I'm excited. Okay, forgive me. More glory? Hebrews 8, 7. For if the first or old covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. Way back when, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant, a new testament with the house of Israel. He's quoting Jeremiah 31. And the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them and led them by the hand out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. That is when the Old Testament is expired, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's glorious. You want more glorious? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. That's awesome. Listen, I'm going to ask you to stand. Everybody stand as I keep going. This is too holy. We should take our shoes off, is what we should do. Let's all stand. Watch this. Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, remember, you are coated as a believer in the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he, that is Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. That's glorious. Hebrews 9, 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. That's glorious because it speaks that the law could not save you. Eventually, it would be the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:10. But by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And listen to this. Keep looking at the screen. If you go and confess to an earthly priest today, I want you to remember what the Bible says right here, verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You want glory? That's glory. Listen, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine? We could walk into the Holy of Holies because you are coated in the blood of Christ as a believer. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart and full assurance. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, his head and hair were white like wool. This is Jesus. As white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. Verse 15, his feet were like fine brass as a refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except he himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is your Jesus, who's your high priest. One more, two more. Revelation 20, verse 11. John said, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. You want glory? Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered up once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. This is your Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Nothing Can Be Greater. It's a lesson taken from a section in Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. Nothing Can Be Greater is really a series within a series, and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack, there's an event coming up in just the next few days, and you're going to be part of it?
Well, David, that's exactly right. We're very excited about this opportunity. I've had a chance to speak at this event before. This is the Understanding the Times Conference. It's hosted by Olive Tree Ministries in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the dates of this conference is going to be October 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
And the location is going to be at the wonderful facilities of Grace Church. And that's 9301 Eden Prairie Road in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I'm really, really just honored and blessed to be among some of the speakers. Pastor Robert Jeffers from the church there in Dallas, Texas. Michelle Bachman. Many of you know her from her political positions and her political office, but she loves the Lord Jesus, and she can bring an amazing word to us. And then my good friend, we were able to get Amir Sarfati.
I love Amir.
Over from Israel. He'll be with us. And so it's going to be a tremendous weekend. You know, Davey, this is the largest Bible prophecy teaching event in America that I know of. Some 4,000 or 5,000 people will be in attendance. And listen, I hope you come on out. I'll be speaking on Friday night at 7 o'clock in the evening and Saturday again at 2:30 in the afternoon. But the whole weekend, no doubt, is going to be a tremendous time. That's Understanding the Times Prophecy Conference hosted by Olive Tree Ministries. And we're just indebted to Jan Markell and the great work that she's doing. So come on out and join us. Look forward to seeing you in the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Okay, remember that you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org to get all the info. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.